I'll figure it out. Ladies and gentlemen, the director of Missing and one of the great masters of world cinema, Mr. Costa Gavras. Are there any questions from the audience? Yes?
Yeah. In 1998, Pinochet was arrested or held in Britain at request of the Spanish government. Do you find, what's your opinion on that? In being Brazilian, a lot of people there were upset, saying that a European nation was arresting what was the leader of a sovereign nation. Do you find it hypocritical of countries that basically supported this sort of situation, you might call it, to later come back years later and now try to apply belated justice for something they might, a crime they might have been willing participants?
That's another part. Good evening, first of all. Pinochet wasn't arrested, he was just stopped in London for, because Spanish judge decided to sue him, and he spent several weeks, if I remember well, in London, and at the end he was able to go back to Chile. Of course, some people were unhappy in Chile, some other places in South America, but a lot of people were very happy for that, and it's a shame. Before he died, the judges, one from Spain and one other one in Chile, they weren't able to put him in trial. Now, what I would like to tell you is that the movie is completely based on a real story. And another thing I would like to tell you is that for grammatical reasons, we always were with people who were able to tell us what happened. As you probably understood, we never see alone the official people, because I never had any testimony about their behavior. So the only scenes you can see are people I was able to verify and to say exactly what they have seen and you have said. That was very important for the accuracy of the story and of the movie.
Yes.
So the main character is a young American, Horman, it's his name, and the movie is essentially back it was a book on his adventure, and from that book they sent me the book from Universal to make the movie, and I decided just to do the last part of the movie, which is the father, as you saw, coming to he's coming and looking for his son. It was the part of the story which was the most interesting for me. And especially because I was able to speak about what happened in Chile, because I have been in Chile before. I have shot a part of my movies, which is called State of Siege, and I was able to meet Allende and a lot of people around of him, and I can assure you that they were good people. They didn't try to establish a communist system, a Soviet system, as the propaganda against them said at that time. Allende was a doctor, and he tried to make the life of his people better than he used to be before. But those were very tough times, and Mr. Nixon was at the power, and he would not accept. Mr. Nixon, Mr. Kissinger, they won't accept a different system, really democratic system to be established. Now, the movie was attacked. As we said at the end, the Hormans couldn't go through to make the trial happen. The amazing thing is the State Department made this statement saying that the movie was fake. But years later, the New York Times in an editorial, someone went through the old thing and he said the movie is completely accurate. corresponding to what happened there.
I have a question about the people who were picked up and put on the stadium. A friend of mine from Chile pointed out that you walk into the welfare shows, it's like social worker, etc. have been rounded up. Do you have any idea why they were picked up? Just in a part of the establishment?
Oh, they were picked up by, they were considered like being a communist or being a pro-agenda people. And something like some 3,000 of them, they have to disappear. Nobody knows exactly what happened. And others were killed, some other officially killed, and jailed and so forth. But it was against Pinochet, that's all. It was pro-agenda against Pinochet. That's for why they were put in the stadium. And they were in the stadium because the prisons were full.
Can I ask you maybe a little bit about Jack Lemmon? I think he's very good in the film, but he's maybe not an obvious choice for this kind of movie. What made you choose him?
Because Jack was a kind of middle American, as he was Mr. Holman, the character of the real person. And of course, you're right, when I said to the Universal people, I would like Jack Lemmon to say, what am I doing to make a comedy? He was categorized like, I have seen Jack in a couple of movies, particularly a movie called Save the Tiger, which for dramatic. It was a dramatic movie, it was great.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, he's the right person to have a kind of long fight with the executives at Universal. And I was insisting very strongly. At the end, the producer, Eddie Lewis, who was a great person, he told them, okay, he wants Jack Lemmon, we let him get Jack Lemmon. I was sure it was the right choice. And he was nominated for the Oscar, and so she wasn't. And he had also an award in Cannes Festival, some other festivals here. Not this one, it didn't exist yet.
Could you tell us a little bit about how it was working with Jack Lemmon as an actor?
So how it was working?
Oh, it was perfect. Well, Jack Lemmon was paradise. It's enough to tell you that when I gave him the script in Los Angeles, he called me back the same day. He said, come after tomorrow. Which we discussed about that. You know, when he gave the script to a star, sometimes you wait for 1 week, sometimes you wait for 2 months, sometimes you don't have any answer. So 2 days later, I went to meet him at his house, and I started talking, having a drink. Jack used to like to drink, and I started talking to him about the character, and he stopped me, he said, okay, you're shooting, you say, I do. And it was perfect, I mean, from the beginning to this movie, up until the end. And we were all living in a hotel, and as he was a big star, the production put him in a major hotel in Mexico City. We shot the movie in Mexico City because it was the only place we were able to shoot the movie. So the company put him in a big 4 or 5 stars hotel. And after a week, he came with us. He said, I don't want to stay alone. I'll come with us. With him. And he was with the crew all the time. He was a great man.
I would like to get some comments on the military coup in Greece. How would that compare with the military coup in Chile?
That's a good question. I never asked that question, but it's something very interesting what you said there. You know, at that period there was a lot of coup around the world. The systems or the leaders, they were liked by the United States. They were, I'm not speaking about the Eastern world, okay, about Soviet Union and what they were doing, I'm speaking about the Western world. So leaders who weren't liked by the United States, they were overthrown. And there was 2 ways of doing it. The one way was Greece, without blood, just putting people in jail or the islands for months or years sometimes. But they were trying to avoid completely blood. And some other coup were with blood. And one of them, one of the worst was probably in Chile. There was also in Chile, there was another one in Brazil and in some other places. And the theory was the next one. You can slow down those people who like to change things radically for 10 years. If you go with a system, let's call it a nice system, okay? With no blood. And you can perpetrate the system for several years if you go through a blood pool. And we saw that the Greek dictatorship lasted more or less 7-8 years. And the Chilean dictatorship lasted 30 years. And they were, because it was important, I think, have some peculiar numbers. They say it was enough to eliminate 0.5% of the population, of the active population, to be able to establish a really dictatorship without having opposition and so forth. And if you go through the numbers in Chile and some other places, the numbers are very close to that. 0.5 of the population.
Story
is that the young man was American, and that happened to American family. It was a Chilean family. There was a lot of Chilean families had the same problems. Nobody knew about that because he was American. He was American, and there was a book. There was articles, and also there was a major film company like to make the movie. And distributed the movie, and the movie was shown everywhere around the world with good success. If the same movie was, let's say, an Argentinian movie or a Chilean movie, I don't think so he would have done the career that movie had done. Now, the impact on people, I don't know. I think the time the movie was showing was very, few years later after the coup in Chile, so the coup was still there. Now, Chile is a democratic country, and your feelings about you are completely different. At that time, the feelings of the people are very strong against those situations. Historically, it was a different period, and like today. So today looks like an old history, except for those who disappeared and their families.
Film about the Lamborghinis assassination, and then think about the complicity of the Americans during the Greek Junta. Didn't you have any difficulty finding American actors for this film? Were they all ready to play in?
Sorry, I didn't exactly the question.
I think you were saying, did you have difficulty in finding American actors to do this film because of the political reasons, yes?
The Lamborghinis were there, and then of course the junta in Greece.
That's right, but you know the Lamborghinis in Greece, have done it in France with French actors with no problem. The only problem we have, it was to find money to make the movie. I spent more than 1.5 years looking for the money. This one, the actors accepted very, very easily. And of course, behind us, it was Universal Pictures. And Universal Pictures at that time was run by Wasserman, who was a big Democrat and an important person in Hollywood. And he decided to make the movie. And also he decided something very important. After the movie was exhibited, there was a trial against us, against Universal, against myself. The ambassador and the consul, We're asking $50 million for me and $50 million for the university. In a certain moment, they decided to negotiate. There was someone said, we won't negotiate. He asked me, everything is accurate on the university? I said, yes, everything is accurate. So he said, we won't negotiate. And we went on for months with a trial, which was a kind of a real trial like you see in the American movies. And at the end, we won the trial.
If you look at Isa de la Vende and her books about Chile, she was cousin of President Allende. What do you think of her descriptions of Chile? The
Isa
de la Vende, the author?
The author is not from the directly from the family. She's not his daughter. She's a cousin. He's a cousin of the same family, but he's not a brother. Allende had two daughters. The one, she's now a senator in Chile, and the other one, after the coup, she committed suicide. Because a lot of people around her was killed during the coup and executed, so she could survive. I think she could argue. Isabel Allende writes great things, interesting things. I haven't read her book about that, particularly this one about the life for you.
The way she depicts Allende there, he's depicted as this big landowner who has a massive child with a native slave, Castro. And she depicts the socialist as continuing the harassment of the indigenous people, as you later show in the Graco, where the Indians, the indigenous people, were played by the white socialists, the communists. They played in the whole way. So what do you think of, well?
I don't know how accurate it is. I cannot get into it because I don't have all the information. There is no doubt that in Latin America, there is a big problem for the natives, for the what we call Indians. In Chile, they call them Mapuches. They live in the south. They are short guys like this, very active, very dark. And of course, there is always racist against them. You can see today what happens, for example, in Bolivia, where you have an Indian become president, they have so much difficulties to stay, to be president.
Gentleman over there?
Yeah. Hi. Can you tell us about your involvement with the criterion PFD release on the bill? The criterion?
You're asking about if criterion will.
Yeah, criterion is going to release the bill.
You know it. Out on
no.
Yes, it's out. Oh, sorry. I was
your involvement.
No, it's in DVD, absolutely. You know, all the American movies are in DVD automatically. Yes, different situation. Even if there is some similarities in Pakistan, for example, I would say Pakistan started with Iraq and then Afghanistan. I think the Americans and Afghanistan, Europeans have sent soldiers there. It was the same thing in Chile. It was soldiers from inside. It's in the army who did the job. The national army. There is, I think it's a different situation. Different making comparisons. We need a really deep political analysis of the situation today.
Yeah,
I was thinking that probably the only other kind of Hollywood movie that I've seen that actually touches on the Latin America revolutions is probably Salvador by Oliver Stone. I think, do you think there's any kind of reticence? Do you think they try to avoid making films about this in the studios there?
Which film are you thinking?
Salvador by Oliver Stone.
Oh, Salvador by Oliver Stone, that's right, yes. Yeah, it was a very interesting movie, great movie. And Oliver Stone, but it was based essentially on, if I remember well, it was based on the story of a journalist, essentially. And essentially it was a fictional story completely. I think Oliver Stone didn't have, the construction of his script didn't have the same problems we have here, because we are dealing, as I said before, with the real people, with the real situations. And the important thing to me was to respect the ethics of the situations and the characters. Because, of course, a situation like this lasted for weeks. Mr. Horner was there for weeks, going from one office to another, trying to find his son. But the movie lasts 2 hours, so it's impossible to tell the whole story. So the essential thing, the adaptation of that kind of stories was really to respect the ethics of the story and the characters. Not to manipulate you, to manipulate the characters. It's so easy for us directors to manipulate you.
So any last questions?
Yeah, I'm lost before. Did the movie have like an influence on the case? Was it put
did
forward?
Did the movie have influence on the case?
The movie was a big, created a big discussion in the United States. I was saying today, and the Wasserman, the president of the Universal, decided to do the opening of the movie the first evening in Washington. And it was amazing to see a full theater, 3 or 4 times bigger than this one, with a lot of officials there. It was amazing at the end of the movie to see some people getting out, furious, some other people applauding. And some people staying at the cocktail they have after it and discussing among them, some people are lining up. And immediately after that, the State Department, as I was said, issued a statement, 4 pages, saying that they did the same investigation that the one I did, and they were able to, they didn't get to the same result on decisions or results at the end, and the movie was failed. And then after the movie was in all the newspapers for weeks and weeks, there was a lot of articles and discussions. But the case, as we said at the end of the movie, cannot be opened without, you know, the State Department gave us part of affidavits, that story, but most of that, it was blacked. You cannot read it. So the Hormans and their lawyers asked for the same affidavits, for the same papers, but without any black. And the State Department refuses to